shooting out sparks over 38 states, the Canadian plains, and the tequila fields of Mexico.
A program most deserving of a grand introduction.
The Nocturnal Journal.
The Talk of the Town. WGN Radio 720.
With your guide, Dave Hoekstra.
Bedtime turns me off and I don't need maybe.
Welcome to Nocturnal Journal on 720 WGN here in Chicago. Our first guest, you've got quite, I wonder if they can hear me out there. Can you hear us? You've got quite a crowd out there. Our first guest, you know, it's funny, the year we've been doing the show, I've had a lot of friends, a lot of comrades, a lot of people I know. I don't know you. I've never met you. I've heard about you. William Luck, I'm going to say one of the biggest collectors of gospel vinyl in Chicago.
You're too kind. Thank you.
And so tell us about your interest in gospel music and how it started.
Well, I came from a church background. My father is a reverend, and I grew up singing in the church choir.
And where was that at?
Wheaton, Illinois.
Oh, Wheaton. Okay. Wheaton,
so the mecca of the Midwest.
I grew up in Naperville. So.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, you know from the Wheaton mentality then. So everyone has a church, yeah. At least back then. And I grew up singing in the church choir. My voice was never really all that high, so I had to sing harmony. So my love from harmony, all things harmonic, came from there. And further on down the line, go into soul music and then kind of backwards into gospel.
How old are you?
I'm 36.
So you were singing.
I just turned 37. I'm getting older.
Yeah.
as you can tell. 37.
And so when were you singing in Wheaton?
I was singing pretty much ever since children's choirs were around. So probably in kindergarten.
So what was your bridge into gospel and soul music out in Wheaton?
The music I listened to then, I do not listen to now. This is nothing I listen to now is born of nostalgia. I mean, there's some crossroads, Rock of Ages, some crossover. But the music I listen to now is predominantly African-American based. And this is, I kind of came to that around the corner. I got into soul music and then realized that, hey, Sam Cooke, O.V. Wright, these great singers, once you study Sam Cooke, you're going to hit the soul stirs, you're going to hit the highway QCs. And then you start learning about a whole other world of gospel music that I wasn't really privy to in Wheaton, Illinois growing up.
Exact thing happened to me. I'm older than you, but the Beatles and some of the British guys, you know, Rod Stewart and the Beatles covering Chuck Berry, that was I look at the credits on the vinyl and stuff, and it made me want to explore R&B and soul.
Twist and Shout with the Isleys.
Yeah. And then you learn about Sam Cooke and the soul stirs, and it was the same path a little
Indeed.
Bit. Yeah. And then, so I assume you just started buying music and...
Yeah, it was everything I learned because, well, it wasn't around when I was growing up. I was born in 78. So by that point, the music that I listen to now, which is predominantly 50s, 60s, early 70s, it was not something I grew up listening to. So everything was a discovery to me. And the music that I listen to now is still from that era, and it's something that you have to listen to actively. This music will not walk into your life and shake your hand. You need to seek it out. You need to find and encounter it very volitionally. It's a very purposeful thing. And it's been a pursuit for at least close to 15 years now, trying to find out the music that I like that puts goosebumps on my arm. I listen through my goosebumps. That's how I know it works.
Okay, so then what's your criteria? What clicks for you?
There's an intangible aspect to it, but it's one of those things where you know art when you see it. I know what works for me with gospel when I see it. It starts again with harmony. Mm-hmm. Harmony is the soul to me of gospel music, or at least the ability to harmonize to something, even if it's just one man singing in a room with no instrumentation. So the harmonic aspect is where it starts. And I think where I start losing gospel in terms of my focus is around when the Winans start coming in. No disrespect to fans of the Winans. But in 83, instrumentation is a little different. Keyboards start coming in. The harmony and the voice, the vocal aspect, the tight harmonies start becoming less important than the extravaganza and the show, which is not, like I say, to denigrate it, but just a different focus. 83 music, 1983, is much different than 1953 or 63 or 73. So that's.
And I would argue, I mean, I've written it before, that kind of the same thing happened with soul music, too. You know, there's so many great voices in soul music, and then they would start getting drenched by synthesizers and stuff like that. Yeah.
Well, it was, gospel artists need to stay viable, and you can stay within a certain. I mean, jazz had to change, gospel had to change as well. Soul music wasn't the same all the way through. Disco came in, and people had to find a way to stay moving. And the great artists, as great as the sound is limited. You have certain eras. And in the 60s, sound changed so fast from a year to year. I can hear a song that I've never heard before and guess almost to the year when it was recorded just by the instrumentation. Is there a Farfisa in there? Is there some sort of a Fender Rhodes? Is someone trying to copy Stevie Wonder, Superstitions, that's going to be 73 or post? Things changed very quickly then. Not as much now, but then, yeah, you had to stay afloat.
So where did you, I'm a record digger, and I knew there used to be there's one place on the south side. It used to be a place in Austin on the west side that had a bunch of, but where did you find all your material, and how big is your collection?
Well, my collection is specifically gospel is several thousand records strong. Much of it is 45s. That to me is more important than LPs in general. There are exceptions with gospel because of recording issues, and if you were... Well, I don't want to get too technical, but 45s were more important in the 60s. Things got cheaper, so gospel groups could record whole LPs in the 70s. And all of a sudden, you'd see groups coming out of Nashville in 1975 recording for Champ Records, for example. And it was more efficient for them to put out whole LPs, whereas in the past, they could have only ponied up enough money for one single. But the music that I come by is... If it wasn't for the internet, there's a lot that I wouldn't know. So I'm kind of a newer generation of music encounterers, if that's yeah. even a word. The West Side that you're talking about is probably Marie's and Out of the Past.
Right, yeah.
Out of the Past.
Well, Out of the Past is still there, right?
It's still there. Yeah. Marie is still, shout out to Marie. Yeah. Fantastic woman. Please stop into Out of the Past.
It's Out of the Past is great. We did, yeah.
It's
yeah.
great. It's out on Madison Street, 5000-something Madison. It's been around through the entire time. The basement is a little harrowing.
Yeah, it is.
A little harrowing. Take your dust mask. Yeah. It's a great place to encounter.
There's a lot of water damage stuff down there.
There is. Yeah. There is. And that predated me by far. great atmosphere and real folks there. Real honest people who know about music and care about things like this. It's not just a widget factory. It's the people that care about
it. And it's affordable that out of the past.
It is. Absolutely, yeah. It is. And Marie is a great personality. Every Chicagoan, I think, should encounter her and honestly, her legacy there. Out of the Past has been there for quite a while.
I mean, do you have not to get totally geeked up, but do you have a genre you go after? I mean, do you like Southern gospel, Northern gospel, Detroit gospel?
Well,
I mean,
to me, it bases itself around the harmony. I love New Orleans, but that's more for soul. Eddie Bo is one of my musical heroes, Edwin Bocage. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to gospel, I'm okay with anything from the South or anything from the North. There's a big crossover all over the place. Chicago has a great sound. When it gets into Cheka Records gospel, Cheka released about 100 records, literally 100, almost on the nose, records between the mid-60s to about 1975, when GRT had kind of run its course and that label was kind of in the water. But there's a time when Ralph Bass, who is a major producer of the gospel records that came through Checker, just Sonny Thompson arranging, Ralph Bass producing, beautiful stuff, gospel crossover, soul music, funk music, gospel, all in one, very socially active, demanding music. It wasn't passive. It wasn't quiet in the church and let's be humble and let's pray. That aspect is well in the background, but this is very upfront. We need things to change music.
We're going to take a break here for some commercials, then you're going to come back. We're going to play a couple songs from your collection, and we'll talk about the stuff you're doing with Numero Group and our little party Friday night.
All right, sounds good.
So don't go away here on Nocturnal Journal.
Well, sometime I wonder,
is there freedom in this world?
Sometime I wonder,
is there freedom in this world?
Sometime I wonder,
is there freedom in this world?
Tell me where
is freedom.
Wow, that's something you don't hear much on AM radio. Welcome back to Nocturnal Journal. And that is the Friendly Four, Where is Freedom? Now, the reason we're playing that, and then I want you to tell me about that song, is you're going to be spinning at Co-Prosperity Sphere Friday night. It's from 6 to 9, I think it is.
Indeed, yes.
3219 South Morgan in Bridgeport, mm-hmm. and it's conjunction with a photo exhibit from my book about soul food and the civil rights movement. And it's going to be a great party. We're going to be showing, it's the debut of Paul Natkin's photographs from the book. They were curated by the Southern Food and Beverage Museum in New Orleans, and they've been there for a couple months, and they're coming up to Bridgeport, and that show opens on Friday night. So you're going to be playing civil rights-type gospel music,
indeed,
right?
Yes.
So, I mean, now there's a song I never heard. I was just taking notes. I mean, the police dogs are snapping. Tell me about that song.
It's one of those records, and there are a lot of records that are similar to this, but this is a fantastic example of, these are folks that are on the inside. These are folks from Charleston, South Carolina, the Friendly Four. John Pembroke was the lead singer on this, and he was part of a group called the Friendly Four, which is a local Charleston group. One side of the record is Where is Freedom, which you just heard. The flip is Pray Before the Storm Comes. The obvious duality there between the juxtaposition and the intermingling of the church and the civil rights movement. I think the two had to exist with each other at that point in time.
There was
the unity came together in the church.
Yeah, we were talking this morning. There's a chapter in my book about, it's kind of a ringer of a chapter, but I did in terms of food, I did the kitchen at Aretha Franklin's church in Detroit, because as you know, C.L. Franklin and Dr. King would meet there and get money for the movement and stuff. So yeah, there's a definite correlation with all that.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
With the food, with the music, and. So how'd you find that?
That was just one of the records that you find becoming an active listener and listening to things that may have been, you know, this sounds odd and almost ridiculous to say, but I learn a lot from eBay auctions.
Yeah.
And I know that almost kind of diminishes it in a way because there's not a community. But hearing music through eBay auctions just from sellers I know personally, and there's always something else popping up and things that you couldn't have heard before the internet came around. Opening up a lot of eyes and a lot of folks to stuff that would have been very directly regional, that all of a sudden the entire world can hear if they listen to the right thing. So listening through eBay or listening through a friend turning me on to something or through other radio shows, Bob Maravich with a show, my friend Greg Belson in Los Angeles has turned me on to a lot of
What's the name of his show?
The Divine Chord.
Okay.
Chord. He puts on a show. That's more up-tempo gospel and gospel funk hybrids, but really, really great music.
How big is this arm of civil rights / gospel music? I mean, how much of it is out there? And I have a follow-up question to that. But.
Well, it's a niche to be sure, and it takes a certain, I think, background perhaps, or a certain tolerance. I've been through so many sermons that it's not a turnoff or something to hear the name of Jesus or something. I'm not even an active churchgoer or anything, so it's not something that's really a. Suffice it all to say that I've had a certain life experience that led me to accept this music as just a human music. Whereas other people might listen to it, they might be an atheist and turned off by the mention of Jesus, but. Or a Christian who might think it's just for the church. I think it's for everybody. It's a human music. And that's really as simple as I can put it, I suppose.
Because my follow-up question was it going down the same path as some of the crossover stuff like the Staple Singers were doing and A Change is Going to Come? Sam, I mean, were they going at the same... Were they in two separate worlds or were these worlds merging?
Oh, no, it was merging. Pop Staples wanted the two worlds to be together. In the case of the Womack brothers, their father kicked them out of the house. Friendly Womack, I believe was his name. He kicked the Womack brothers out of the house for singing secular music. Oddly enough, on Sam's label. Sam Cooke had a record label called SAR.
Mm-hmm.
We've had
LC on the show. He was one of our first guests.
He was a recording artist.
Great guy. Yeah, yeah.
Right. So the Womack brothers were known as the Valentinos on one side when they were doing doo-wop and soul and R&B, and then the Womack brothers when it was gospel. So... Yeah. And it was clearly the Valentinos were the Womack brothers.
Yeah.
So the father kicked them out of the house. So not everyone was amenable to that. But especially when it dealt with civil rights, there was a need to have the integration, to draw everyone in together. So there'd be unified movement.
We're going to break for the news. Can you hang around a little bit longer?
Certainly.
We've got a great show tonight. We've got Bill Fitzgerald coming up, and then Jim Peterick. You know, Jim Peterick and I wrote a beach music song together, so you don't want to miss that.
Okay.
We'll be back after this on WGN. Welcome back to Nocturnal Journal on 720 WGN. Dan Long, why don't we ask the bosses if we can do a regular gospel music show?
Wouldn't mind it.
Yeah. So we're here with William Luck, and you can hear that song on the record you curated for Numero Group. Tell us about the record.
Well, that was the last track on the album called Saved and Sanctified, Songs of the Jade Label. And the Jade Label was run on the west side of Chicago, 5824 West Division Street initially. It's a storefront recording studio. And the man's name, the impresario, was Gene Cash. Gene was a transplant from Alabama, from Bruton, Alabama. And he came up and through a series of misadventures, which are detailed in the liner notes.
Which you did.
Yes. Yeah. I researched. He is still alive, and he's still hale, and everything's together. And he relayed his story to me, and he essentially was recording African-American artists on the west side in Austin starting in 67. And for listeners who know the neighborhood, not exactly a very peaceful time.
Not far from Fitzgerald's.
No.
Yeah.
as the story goes, before too long, he was made pretty clear to me that he had to leave the neighborhood. Brick through the window. Which was going to be followed by a lot worse if he didn't leave. So after about 3.5-4 years, he recorded there, and he moved on to Maywood, 418 Lake Street in Maywood, where he's more free to proffer African-American acts in his front window. So.
And tell me about that group. I mean, where were they from? How did he find them?
Sons of Christ were a Southside Chicago group. They released a lot of things after. This may have been their first recording, and I think Gene Cash first heard them through one of Bill Doc Lee's Sunday Gospel open houses, which were, in Bronzeville at the time. Bill Doc Lee was a WVON radio DJ, very important gospel DJ. He also worked with Checker Records. So he was kind of a he set a lot of people up, shook a lot of hands, and got people working together. He was an organizer as well. So the Sons of Christ, I think, came through, at least if not directly through Bill Lee, then at least through his efforts in the gospel music industry in Chicago.
Was this the track where I read in your liner notes where was the place kind of open to anybody? And did you say, was this the track where the hippies came in with fiddles and violins and stuff?
There was a hippie that kind of hung around the neighborhood that knew Gene Cash, and he had some he knew some female friends that played violin. And it was just, it wasn't like all... There wasn't a big, big rigorous process by which Gene recorded these songs. In fact, that song is kind of not indicative of most of the output. Most of it was just one or two mics in a room. Uh-huh. Gene was, although a great guy, he wasn't a master engineer. He just made things happen. So that's a little more orchestrated than most of the recordings on this album. Most of them are very basic, very stripped down, do-it-yourself, and see to your pants, which is the way that Gene at that point recorded things in 67, 68, 69.
Fascinating. I want to hit the bullet points of how people can find all this stuff. So tell us about Saved and Sanctified. It's on the Numero offshoot label. We got ours at Dusty Groove, show sponsor, but where can you find it?
Find stores everywhere, literally from Best Buy to Target.com to Amazon to anywhere you can buy great LPs. This is on LP and then MP3 and FLAC. So there's no CD release of it, but it's everywhere other than CD. But it's the Numerophone imprint of the Numero Group, which is a fantastic Chicago local label that I've worked with for years here. They are Grammy nominated four times over, at least, and very responsible too. The music was all it was all done through Gene Cash's blessing, and it was all with his.
Did they find you, or did you find them, Numero?
I've known Rob Sevier and Ken Shipley for over a decade, and I've kind of worked with them. And record collectors in Chicago have a way of coming together like the magnet, you know, drawing in all the loose shards of metal around it. So we all kind of came together, and I've known Rob for a while, and this is the first album that I've had more of a free rein to pull things together. They had the license through Gene Cash, and I dug through 150 songs to boil it down to the best 13 here.
And that's something.
I'm very lucky I could work with real professionals who ethically source the music.
And Maria's, tell us about your monthly appearance at Maria's. I love this.
I have a
gospel and beer.
I have a gospel show at Maria's Bar, Maria's Community Goods and Package. I'm going to say that I said that wrong. It's Maria's in Bridgeport.
Yeah.
The notion of playing gospel music in Bridgeport not too long ago would have been maybe a dicey situation, but Maria's, I spin there fourth Wednesdays of every month. It's straight gospel music. Every once in a while I put in some soul music, some sweet soul to go into and out of my sets. But it's worked out fairly well. Fourth Wednesdays every month at 9 to about 2 or whenever Maria's closes. Joe Brill, the music...
I love Joe.
Joe is the music booker there. He took a chance on me, and I've been going there for about 2 years straight, I think. So it's worked out.
And then lastly, and in all modestly, I'm excited about this, not because it's our event, but you're going to be spinning at the photo release party of our book, The People's Place.
Yes.
And that is this Friday night between 6 and 9 at Co-Prosperity Sphere, right down the street from Maria's, 3219 South Morgan. Joe's going to be doing an after party, soul music.
That'll be
at Maria's. But, you and I have been talking about this. So there's enough civil rights gospel material to play during this event, you think?
Easily. And a lot of music that doesn't appear on its face to be civil rights related, not just because it was part of that era, was civil rights related. Songs like I Shall Not Be Moved, that is more direct. But it's a lot of songs have not hidden meanings, but meanings that work well within the context of the civil rights era. Only playing 3 hours of this is not even close to enough of the output.
Let me ask you this. This is kind of a, I don't know if it's a tough question, but it's an honest question. How much of your audience when you do these gigs, and what do you think we'll get on Friday night, how much of them are African-American people and young African-Americans? How much are they into this?
Well, in Bridgeport, I honestly, whoever listens to the music and likes it, that's my audience. Probably many of them are white folks.
Yeah.
But to me, this is everyone music. And anyone who can appreciate music from folks who are fighting for not just their rights, but survival, is that's as basic as it gets in terms of humanity.
I mean, that's what I heard. I mean, that first track we played, I never heard that before. Where is Freedom? That's hardcore history in a song.
Absolutely. And it runs through it. And a lot of
people should hear that song.
A lot of music. Yeah. And I'm glad you played it. I totally agree. Salem Travelers, also a Chicago group, very active in civil rights. Another group that people should get into if they're interested in civil rights, Chicago gospel.
Thank you for coming in. This was really fascinating.
Oh,
I usually just have all my buddies on the show, but this is really illuminating. Do you have a website or anything where people can find you?
I don't. I honestly don't. I have a SoundCloud page, and my handle on SoundCloud is The Host of Gospel, which was a local Chicago label. I think Rosa Pewitt ran it. So just soundcloud.com/ The Host of Gospel.
Okay.
Pretty basic.
So. Okay. Well, let's stay in touch.
Absolutely, Dan.
And
thanks
we'll see
much.
You Friday night.
I will absolutely be there.
And thanks for coming down.